morning, if you will, I'd like you to turn to our text this morning, which is found in Jude 1 and 2 will be our text this morning, Jude 1 and 2. Give you a little extra minute because I know that it's a small book. You'll miss it. It's only two pages. Jude 1 and 2. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how gracious and holy Thou art. How great is Thy grace that is so much greater than our sin. O Lord, I praise Thy name and I thank Thee, Lord, for the depth of Thy grace to sinners such as I. O Lord, may You call us away from the sins that so easily beset us this morning. The sin of self, the sin of presumption, the sin of unbelief. Lord, may You call us to Thy table. May You set at Thy table food to nourish our souls and to encourage us in Thy most holy faith that is of Thy own giving. O Lord, glorify Your name this day. Pray for those, Lord, that are in need of Thy healing this morning, both body and soul, that Thou would be pleased to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, heal us of our infirmities, and draw us close to Thy side. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think of this very short epistle when I think of Jude, who tells us who he is in the first part here, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. When he wrote this epistle, how prevalent it was on the minds of the people of God about how quickly and how shortly things in their life would change radically. We have certainly been taught and been listening closely to the last few sermons that have instructed us on those events that would come in 70 AD. And one thing that was very encouraging to me and has always been encouraging to me when I read the Word of God is how the Lord takes such great care of His own. And I don't say that flippantly this morning. As you read these words, and Jude, this short epistle is going to come afterward, is going to come warnings. It's going to come and tell them the evilness of the day that they live in and how wicked it is, how the Lord's judgment is coming. All of this, and at the end of this epistle, ends it by the same way he begins it. And why is the beginning so important? We read these little epistles and these little letters, and we gloss over the front. We gloss over the salutation, and we say, okay, those are nice words. Those are glorious words. But the Lord stopped me when I was reading this book, and He stopped me here in these first two verses because the particularness of the address once again. Now, all of the letters, whether they be written of Paul or John, or they are particular. They go to the people of God. And I think about that as in that time, like I said, their lives seem to be so close to such a radical change. Now, we don't know. We don't know in our day what tomorrow holds. We certainly look at the events of the day and we look at things that grieve us so much. I know I'm grieved almost every day when I look at man and I'm surrounded by listening to man and how man looks at life and how man looks at God. It's a very grievous thing for me. David's words in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell with all the nations that forget God. I think about those words a lot when I speak to people in this life, about how they view life. And then when the Lord stops me in a section like today, and the text that He has preserved for us today in this hour, it really speaks of what life is. Life is being sanctified by the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And what you have there is the perfect harmony of the Trinity. Our calling is made sure by the Holy Spirit. He witnesses to us Christ. He witnesses to us that it is the Father who has chosen us and sanctified us if we be in Christ. He has chosen a people and He has set them apart and separated them. And that's what that word sanctified here translated means. Separated. And you and I today, as we come to this text, we are examined. We're examined in our own life. Do we live? Has the Lord separated us for His use? Has He separated us from the world? Has He separated us from a life we used to have? Has He separated us from friends that we used to have? And why are those friends not around anymore? Those are the things I want to look at today. I'm ever reminded, that as I speak to people, as I listen, I do a lot more listening than I do speaking. I listen to people around me. I listen to their religious ideas. I listen to who they say God is. And the Lord impresses upon me daily the wideness of the gate that leads to destruction. And many there be that find that gate. That gate is a gate full of professing, quote unquote, want to be Christians. But yet there's a narrow gate, Jesus said. There's a narrow way that because the child of God is preserved in Christ and sanctified by the Father, they are put in that narrow way. They are in that narrow gate. And I'm going to tell you this. If the Lord has done that before the foundation of the world, you will not be allowed to go to the other gate. You are kept. That's how vital the eternal vital union is, which of course we have to discuss again today, because we are preserved in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? So as we look this morning, I want to begin with this text. Jude identifies himself. Now notice this. He says one thing that he identifies himself. This is who I am. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. What a great mercy for you and I today to be able to say that we are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, he tells us what that means. He tells us that we are sanctified of the Father, we are preserved in Christ, and we're called. Those are the very definitions. And then verse 2, we don't throw verse 2 out because that's the fruit of the union. What is it that the child of God experiences in this life? The peace of Christ, the love of Christ, and it's multiplied, and the mercy of the triune Lord. So today, as this word was written to encourage the saints in that day, in that hour, it is equally impressed upon the soul of the child of God today. As I said, we don't live in an anticipation of looking at the Scriptures and interpreting them to say, this is what's going to happen in this nation on this date and at this time. That'd be frivolous because of the fulfillment of what the Lord has done in these pages. However, we also, it would be presumptuous of us to think that this is heaven. that this life that we live, that there is no tribulation. I know your life don't testify to that. Do you have tribulation? Do you have a hardship in your life? Do you have those hard days? As you do, the Holy Spirit says to the child of God that he is sanctified of the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. And as I said, what a great mercy it would be to have the Lord speak to us that we are a servant of his. I was led to Romans 16:18, where Paul wrote of those who serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by their good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Now think about that text there for a moment. We think of Satan and those that speak against Christ. Sometimes we think those words and the things that we hear are going to be so evident to us. But what Paul says in that little verse there is he says, by their good words and fair speeches. We look at those two words, good and fair, and in our vocabulary, those are things we would want to hear. We want to hear good things, fair words from people. But the warning is that the heart of that one that they're coming from is a heart that wants to what? Their own belly, serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. This salutation, this letter, is written to the church and the elect only. And as we sit here today in the hope of the election of this triune Lord, if it's written for them at that time, it's written for us at this hour, for the consolation and the peace of our souls. Because we have inward dealings. We have inward problems. We have problems in our life. It seems like every week, we could get up here every week and point to something that's happened in this world in the last week that has given us trepidation in here. Things that we see in the headlines. Things that really bother the child of God and make the sheep bleat out to the Lord and call out to the Lord. Well, what is it that Jude could write to the church there at that moment? What did he turn them to? What did he say to all of this that he knew was revealed? This is about to come about in your life. What could he point them to? Could he point them to riches? Could he point them to safety in numbers? Could he point them to... No. What he pointed them to was the sanctification of the Father. If the Lord has preserved you, and if he set you apart, if you are preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it that will come to you? Mercy, peace, love. That's his promise. That's his faithfulness. So as we look at each part of this, I want to begin with this first section. To them that are sanctified by God the Father. As I said, I take this sanctified word here to mean separation. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. It is the will of God. That's the whole thing. This is the will of God that He, before the foundation of the world, separated a people. And as you see, they were preserved and put in Jesus Christ. That's that eternal, vital union. I speak of it a lot because I'm going to be frank with you. I can't live without it. I can't live without the Lord's application in my life daily of that union. Because when life gets hard to me, whether it is in my family, whether it's in the world's events, when the Lord stops me and speaks to my soul, what is it that He's testifying? My position. What is my position? If I'm in Christ, these are all of the blessings that are given to me and that the Lord is faithful to bring about. So I might be focused on the hard thing and the problem in my family, the problem in the world, the problem in my job. But if the Lord stops me, if the Lord shows me this union, it puts everything in perspective. It does. We're preserved in Christ Jesus. We're set apart. We're separated by the Father. Ephesians 1:4 says this, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be," how does that come? "That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." You and I today, as we sit in these seats, as we walk out in this world, those are two things that are very hard for me to stand up and go, "I sure feel holy today. I sure feel without blame today." Why? Because of sin. But when I read those words and I think about what Jude says here, the Holy Spirit impresses upon me what the Father and the Triune Lord has done for my soul in His finished work. What has He done? He has chosen us. That "us" is particular. That "us" is the people of God. It's His church. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. You and I couldn't mar that if we wanted to. You and I couldn't mess that up. I know that's hard to understand because there's a lot of things we mess up in this life because of sin. We can't just sit every day and say, "Well, I'm going to get up today and I'm going to be holy and without blame before God." But yet in Christ we are holy. In Christ we are without blame. That's the magnitude of the deep blessing that Jude is telling the people of God. Yes, when you look around you, things are very difficult. And they're not only difficult now, they're going to get worse. However, you're preserved and set apart by the Father. You are preserved in Christ. You are called by the Holy Spirit. You see how He shifts all of the what you have to do. All of the "Oh, I'm in all this trepidation. Lord, what do I do now? How do I save myself? How do I..." No. The whole emphasis is in our salvation, how we're saved, how it's been done, how it is performed, how it is applied. All of Him. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, as I look and I'm thinking about what is separation, the Lord took me to Romans 8. Let's go over to Romans 8. It's probably one of the few places we're even going to turn today. So let's go over to Romans 8, at the end of Romans 8. And you say, "Well, wait a minute. That word is sanctified, it's not in there." Well, just listen. Listen to Jude's what Jude had to say is that we are sanctified. We are separated by the Father. Well, what comes from being separated? And not only what, listen to this. We're going to start in, let's start in 29 of Romans 8. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren." This is because He has separated us from the world. He has separated us from the goats. He has separated us as sheep. This is the particular blessings that the sheep have. And all because He separated us, He foreknew us, He predestinated us to what life? And that, dear ones, I don't know what that speaks to you, but it's a fixed state to me. It is a fixed place that the Father has preserved us in. And He's put us in Christ, where Christ, we're going to see that's a place where the Lord hadn't lost any. It isn't like you and I that lose things every day. I won't even get started on myself. Misplacing things. The Lord's not like it. We're kept by the power of God, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's what I'm saying. Some of these guys will come in, oh, well, sanctification isn't mentioned there. Do you not see that the Lord has set his people apart from the world? And these are the blessings that they have in him and in him alone? Do you not see the separation? Or do you see it as just one big lump here and everybody in this world has the same blessings? I don't see the Word of God that way. I see the particular redemption. I see the predestinating purpose of our Lord to preserve His people for all of the ages to come. And they're preserved in His Son. And then he says, he asks those questions. Listen to those questions. I'm not going to sit with them a long time. I want to read those questions to you. If you are set apart, if the Father has set you apart and put you in His Son, listen to these questions. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And as we sit there and we start to ponder and we start to wonder how these things in our lives become so big and such huge mountains, these are the questions that the Lord said. If He has separated you, if you are in Christ Jesus, if God is for you and He's been for you before the foundation of the world, who can raise His hand against you? And when? That's what's implied there, by the way. And take you from the Father. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You know what we sang this morning? That great, marvelous grace. That grace that's greater than our sin. That's what's described for how shall He not with Him also freely give. Once again, that creature is extracted out of this transaction. That's what grace is. Freely give us all things. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. David understood that. Why? Because I've been separated by the Father and I'm put in the Son and I'm called by the Holy Ghost to live in this life, whatever age we're in, as this union is lived out in our life. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall? And the world stands up and says, I will. And Satan stands up and says, I will. And your flesh rises up and says, I will. It is God that justifies. That's His answer. Bring all your condemnation. Because the Romans 8 began here. There's no condemnation for them who are in Christ. What is the fruit of that being in Christ? Well, He's telling us. It's God that justifies the child of God. Let the world make their accusations. Let false religion come up and say, but you don't do this, you don't do that. God justifies. And that is what He does in the soul of His children. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. See the particularness? For us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can any of those separate us from this love that Jude wrote about in verse 2? That it flows from this union? Can anyone do that? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, he's not a horse here. He's telling us absolutely not. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are conquerors in Christ. We are conquerors in the Father who has sanctified us, in the Son who has preserved us, and in the Holy Spirit who has called us. And then, and I pray to God, this is our each and every one, if we be in Christ, this is our triumphant witness this morning. I am persuaded. Paul was persuaded. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And that creature there, I don't take to be a dog and a cat. I take it to be all these humans that go around wanting your affections, or ever any man that says, listen to me. Follow me. Because Christ, if you be in Christ, no man can separate you from Christ. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you not see a separation there? Do you not see that the Lord has separated a people? David wrote this in Psalm 144:15. He said, happy is that people that is in such a case. See, what case is that? Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. There are times I just don't feel happy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. But when I am happy, contentment is there in what Christ has done. And when the Lord shows this glorious picture to me that the Lord has set apart a people for Himself, for the glory of Him, and He's put them where none of them can be lost, and none of them can be, they're in Christ Jesus. But we're also called. We're called away from this world. We're called away from the governments of this world. We're called away. And what I mean by that is that our heart is longing after them. And the people of this world. And the circumstances and the monies and the riches and the fames of this world. For the child of God being separated and preserved and called means a deep, effectual change in the life that you once had and that you have now. That is the truth of the gospel. That's what He's done. Separated, preordained, all for the Lord and Master's use. Luke wrote in Acts 13:48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You ever know that? You ever read words like that and wonder, what does that mean? I mean, you ever sit there and think about that? This message is preached, and the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, puts down these words. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Where is man in that? Where is man's choice in that? Where is man's decision in that? As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. John wrote in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. There's that relationship. There's that separation. The sheep are separated. They're not running with the goats. They're not living amongst the goats. They can't. They can't. They cannot sit and slop the pigs and live with the empty husks. They can't. You say, well, there's a time. Yes, the time. There's a time. There's always a backsliding time because of our flesh. I'm talking about the witness of your life Has the Lord made that difference to separate you unto Himself because you're in Christ and called to be separated? Preserved in Christ Jesus. Oh, that eternal vital union. Romans 8, 1 again. There is therefore now no condemnation. None to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. I felt much condemnation this week. Many times I feel condemnation in this life. When the law raises against my life, I feel a lot of condemnation. When the have-tos come up, I feel a lot of what I have fallen short to. When sin is revealed to me, I feel condemned. But praise be to God, the gospel message is there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Tell me this union isn't vital. Tell me that it isn't of the greatest necessity to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but having His righteousness. To be found in Him in the power of His resurrection, in the power of His life. That's the life, and to be given the faith of the Son of God to live. That's what this is all about. That's what our life-giving principle is. It's Him. Matthew 18:14 says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." Jesus said those words. It is not the will of the Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Who's the little ones? His children. Not one of them. Not one of them can be plucked from His hand. When I read things like this, when I read preserved in Christ Jesus, what jumps out to me is that little four-letter word, kept. I'm kept. And I think, how am I kept? I'm kept by the power of God. I try to keep things sometimes, you know. I try to. Being a husband and a father of four in a house, and you know, things get pretty expensive sometimes. So I think to myself, well, I'm going to put this back and I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to keep it for this to happen. You know what? I don't keep that there that long. If it's on me to keep something, I'm in trouble. Somebody tells me something. Keep that in your mind. Okay. I'll do that. Then as soon as something else comes up that takes my mind off what they told me, I've already forgot it. I'm just not that trustworthy to keep that. However, my Lord is. He is faithful to keep everyone and preserve everyone in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, and in His ascension. And that's the question. You know, when life is hard, where are you? Not what are you going to do, but when life gets hard, when the family circumstances get hard, where are you? Where are you? You ever stop to think about that? Wherever you're at in this life, really, where are you? Where are you at that moment? Are you preserved in Christ? When death comes near, when we get that specter of death every time we hear something, that, especially around us, and you know that fear of death comes on me many times as I'm, you know, like I said, I'm responsible for a family, and sometimes they want to do things, and sometimes I think about what's going on in the world, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, I don't think I want to do these things, and I start to be robbed of liberty and things like that. Where is my security? Where am I? Where are you? I'm kept in Christ Jesus. And that to me is very comforting words when the Lord applies it to me. Then we have, as I said, we have that little word there. You know, we've got to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, but then we're also called. And if the Holy Ghost has called you out of darkness, and into light, it's because you are sanctified by the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus. And as I said, I think I started a message I had recently of making your calling and election sure. What does that mean? Is that signing a card and passing it to somebody saying, yes, I've signed up to be a soldier of the cross? Is that, you know, does that make you feel any better to sign up or make some kind of profession and say, you know, that's who I am? What does it mean to be called? And have you ever sat in this life? And I know it means more to the adults than it does the children. But even in the children's life, have you been called away? Because as you grow up and as you look back upon your life, have you ever sat to wonder why you don't pursue the world in a way you used to pursue the world, if you don't? Now, that's the qualifying remark here, if you don't. And if you don't, it's because of His separation that He has put in you to separate you from the world's clutches. Now, I don't know about you children. Maybe some of you struggle with those things. Maybe you feel something in you that is separating you. That as you've lived in this life, you're like, you know what? These things really aren't important to me. And if they're not, it is because the Lord reveals to His children that He has called them away out of that darkness into light. Have you ever examined your life and just sat there in the light of the Scriptures and said, Lord, You made me to differ. You made me to differ. Not yourself. No, not because of feelings you had to want to get away from people and to recluse and all that. No. Lord, You made me to differ. You're the reason that I don't run out after those friends that I used to have. Where are your former friends? Do you run after them? I thought about this this week as we were playing a game this week, and I had to use the name of a former friend, and I thought of one. And I thought, even when I left that night, I was thinking, man, I wonder what happened to him. I wonder what became of them. There's this life that I once lived that I was so engrossed in. But now, it's not that case anymore. Why is that? Have you been called away from a life that you used to run and did so many things out in this world and mischievous things for me, but who's made you to differ? Is there a calling there? Can I, before God today, return to that life? Absolutely not. Because He has sanctified me and put me in His Son and revealed it. And He's kept me by power. That's the whole thing. You know, we can spend many tears. We can use words. We can use persuasions. But if the Lord has put a great goal fixed, if He has put a great goal fixed between you and whoever it is, there ain't going to be anybody coming back over that. That's the sovereign power of the Lord to call you in your life. And that's what this really is about today. You before your Lord. Because Jude, when he wrote this, you know, like I said, you think about the power of that time and those that were sitting there. And what you and I can't get there. We just really can't. Because it ain't happening to us to have everything in our life. And the whole government and everything that we've always lived by just said, you know what? It's about to end. And knowing, probably, that some, even in your own family, are still clutching to it. And you're just sitting there going, well, the Lord's revealed His judgment's coming. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I mean, I can't get there. Like I said, I can't get to that mind. I can just what the Lord has given me today to say, wow, you know, where I live now, in the time that I live, You know, look at these comforting words that he gave his people to encourage them in that hour of that time. What did he encourage them in? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not circumstances, not a mountain to climb in, not a, you know, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I have to ask, I ask it a lot of times from up here, is that enough? Is he enough? Is the triune Lord enough for you today? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Boy, that's pretty specific and separating. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't know if the Word of God, when you read it like that, you just gloss over and go, "Oh, that's nice." Or does it come to your soul and say, "Have you been called out of darkness? Do you have the light of Christ in your soul?" And when the Lord comes that way, that's how He humbles His children. That's how He brings them to His feet. Oh Lord, make that calling and election sure. But as I said, out of all of this, out of the sanctified by the Father, preserved in Jesus and called, He says three things: mercy unto you, peace, and love be multiplied. Mercy unto you. Listen, I love mercy. Lord willing, if the Lord is pleased, I will have a birthday this week. I'll be 46 years old. And I've learned in my life that one of the, if not the greatest gift, is the Lord's mercies that are new every day. And when He applies the depth of His mercy, I feel like David who said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's an assurance of being in His Lord and having that union. I know that the Lord's goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when the Lord imparts that to you and shows you that His mercy endureth forever, it's just nothing like it. I'd betray it by sitting up here trying to tell you words that describe the mercies of the Lord. Sometimes, as we've been discussing being called out, recently I sat and I was allowed to have my mind wander 2 days back when I was in my teens. And I thought about what my life goal was. And my life goal was to play in the NBA. It was. I was a decent basketball player. Of course, I probably thought I was a lot better than I ever was. And I thought that was it for me. I really thought that's what life was. I work hard and I do these things. And then providences came in my life that took that away. And I didn't deal that well with those things. But I tell you what, now I look back on those things and I look at the depth of the Lord's mercy to pull me out of a sure life of death. Death of chasing the world, chasing the fame of the world, chasing the desires of the world. What a mercy. Do you have that witness in your soul that the Lord has pulled you out of the fire? As Jude says later in his... And that mercy and grace. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "By the grace of God I am what I am." And I think about that when the Lord shows me what He delivered me from. David, once again, I want to read four psalms to you. Four verses, I should say. David asked for the Lord's mercy to be upon him many times. I picked these four out just because I wanted you to hear in David's words the times that he called out for the Lord's mercy. In Psalm 6:2, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. In the time of weakness, he calls out for the Lord's mercy. That's the way the Lord works. Where can you go, child of God? You're the end of yourself. You are in weakness. O Lord, I need your mercy. Psalm 9:13. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that lifted me up from the gates of death. O Lord, your mercy lifts me from the gates of death. Your mercy keeps me from those who hate me. Your mercy. Psalm 25:16 says, turn thou unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Lord, in this affliction, I need your mercy. In my desolation of my soul, where I feel empty, you know that's what desolation means. I'm empty. I feel like a wilderness. I feel so barren. The Lord brings David to the throne. Lord, have mercy upon me. It endures forever. Psalm 86:16, he says, O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Lord, I'm strengthless. I need your strength. What do you cry out for? Oh, Lord, I need $100. I need to close this deal. Lord, I need this crop. Lord, I need this. Yeah, we do cry out for things like that. But those four that I read you, those were the circumstances of David's soul, brought to the end of himself to call out to his Lord for mercy. Mercy. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know what strikes me so much about that verse? Listen to what the first part. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. You hear that? The recognition that we are unrighteous. That we are sinners. He said, I won't remember their sins anymore. That's the depth of mercy. The Lord's not looking at us like there's some kind of sinless perfection and that Wesley said that we're supposed to attain to. That we're all going to be the sinless person and that's when the Lord's going to come and take us home. When has that happened in your life? Are you still a sinner? Yeah. Are you still unrighteous in many ways? Yes. But listen to the depth of His mercy. His blood covers the multitude of sins. His blood applied to the soul of the child of God washes him clean. His blood, effective power, shows that where salvation is. And yes, it's needful to be reminded how frail we are. That's the depth of mercy. But mercy's not the only thing. He says in peace. And I'd only put one verse down for this, and that's John 14:27. That's my favorite one. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Do you understand that the world gives you peace? There are things and circumstances and the things in this life when we hear them, we go, oh, that's peaceful to me. Oh, that's good for me. Oh, that brings me peace. The Lord says, the peace I give you is nothing like the world's peace. My peace is a peace which passeth all understanding. My peace is that I haven't given you the spirit of fear. I've given you power, love, and a sound mind. That's what the peace in Christ is. A sound mind in His finished work. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And when the Lord says that to our souls, that's when peace is applied. The peace in this covenant that we have in the triune Lord. That's the only peace the child of God has. And you say, I sound like, oh, it's such a sin. Listen, that's the only peace he needs. That is the peace. That's what the Lord said. This peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. That's a false peace. The peace I give is power. It comes with power to subdue all of those fearful thoughts and sinful thoughts and to turn our mind to Him. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And I thought about love once again. I said, well, where could I go? So we're just going to turn over to 1 John 4 real quick and read basically where this love comes from. And love is what it says, be multiplied. Love to Christ, love to the triune Lord, love to the brethren. It's multiplied. It's not just a love to the Lord. That's what John tells us. It's lived out by the love that you have for the brethren. Listen to 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. I know you don't hear that in this world. I know everybody tells you love more, whatever, commercials, whatever. Love more. You just got to love. Listen, love is of God. True love. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth, that truly loveth, is born of God. Has a new birth. And born of God. That's the only one who can love what true love is. Just like there's a false peace, there's a false love. And this world is full of it. But the Word of God tells us that everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. There's that union. For he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's what we've been talking about all day. What is life? Life is being sanctified by the Father, preserved in Christ, and called into this life by the power of the Holy Ghost to live. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. No, it doesn't start with a creature. And if it does, you're in trouble. It begins in Him. And it's wrought in Him. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And why is that? Because that love that's born of God is the same love that's in all of His children. And that love seeks that love. And that love is bound to that love because it's the same love. It's the love of the triune Lord in our souls. It's born of Him. That's where we have like-minded. Finally, one more time, we'll read the text. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Dear Heavenly Father, may you add thy power for the glory of thee. In Jesus' name I pray.